Is this yours?
No, I'm fasting today.
So each day you do the daf that they're doing that day?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So yeah. Maybe afterwards I'll join you.
Okay, great. After you come back
I should be here Sunday, but then I'm gone the rest of the week. So.
Right. Okay, good. Okay. So if you're here on Sunday, we'll be very excited again. So Rabosai, on daf Dalid, which I'm pretty sure is the daf for today, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right? So it's Beis Gimel and Dalid.
It actually be Dalid.
Correct? So there's a sugya which I want to learn with you first inside, just very quickly. I'm thinking we're not going to do the whole daf, and then try to understand it on a more profound level. Now this sugya is called Smichus Gula Tfila Be'arvis, at night. Later on, we're going to have a sugya called Smichus Gula Tfula Shachris. And let's just sort of give a very quick overview of what goes on over here. We have a bracha called Gal Yisrael, and immediately afterwards we have Tfila. And we bow, and we say Baruch Ata Hashem, and we begin our Amida, our Shmon Esrei. In Shachris, immediately after Gal Yisrael, we should be beginning, without any interruption, not even a time lapse, our tefillah. And that's called Somech Geula L'Tefillah. What about Arvis? What about at night? Now, for example, in Chutz Laretz, we have a minute called Yiru Einenu V'Yismach Libeinu. There's a whole long paragraph there. But even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not absolutely clear that we have smichus l'gula tefila b'arvis. For example, what separates or wedges between Gal Yisrael and tefila? Number one, Ashkivenu, and number two, Chatzi Kaddish. Excellent. We don't have a Chatzi Kaddish in the morning. So this would indicate that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Where is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? He's here on Daf Dalet Amid Beis. So if you open up for a moment to Daf Dalet Amid Beis, you will be able to find this sugya. Let's see where. Omar Mar. Let's see, there are two dots, but I don't know if that's going to help anybody. It would be approximately 15 lines down from the top. And the first word in the line is Rishus. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Let's see, how do I do this? Is there another way of...
Five up from the wide line.
Five up from the wide lines. Excellent. Omar Mar. We had a quote earlier that went to the following. Kore Kriyat Shema Umispalel. He should read Kriyat Shema and then Davin immediately. Misayele, this will support Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Yisu Ben Olam Abaz Asomek Ulu Tfilah Shal Arvis. Because again, the sugi that we're learning here is about Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, and Rabbi Yochanan insists that immediately after Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, we stand Shmon Esrei and we mekayim the mitzvah of Smichus Geula L'Tfilo. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Tfilos B'Emtza Tiknum, which means the following: that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in Shachris we begin with Kriyat Shema, and then we continue to Shmon Esrei. And we mekayim, therefore, the mitzvah of smichus gula tefila. But in Arvis, we're going to start with tefila, as strange as that sounds to our ears, and then go on to kriyat shema, which means that tefilos be'emtza tiknum, that the tefilos are in the middle, they're wedged in between two kriyat shemas, the kriyat shema of bekumecha in the morning, and the kriyat shema at night of b'shavbecha. B'maika biflagi. What is the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Obviously, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when you daven at night, you start with Kriyat Shema, then you go on to Shmon Esrei, right? Which means Smichus Gula Tefila. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the order is reversed, and you start with Tefila, and then you recite Kriyat Shema, forfeiting the kiyum of Smichus Gula Tefila. Ibai same as Svar, Ibai same as Kroy, Ibai same as Svar. Ibai same as Svar, the Rabbi Yochanan Savar Geula Meurta Nami Havi. Meurta means at night. For example, you take a look at the beginning of Psachim, Arli Arbas, the night of the 14th. Bod Gimel HaChometz, correct? So Mi'urta means at night. Now this is a pella, because we know that the exodus from Egypt took place when? On the 15th by day. Biyad Ramah, to the exposed eye, everybody was there to witness the Jewish nation in its exodus from Egypt. And the Geula therefore took place by day. How could Rav Yochanan, now notice that he adds the word Nami, and by adding the word Nami, he indicates that there was also Geula at night. So he says, Ela Geula Ma'aliyus, so the real full-fledged Geula, Lohavya Elad Safra, Safra means till the morning. So when did we actually pack our bags and leave Mitzrayim? That was on the 15th in the morning. But there was also a Geula at night. What does it mean there was also a Geula at night? Like it was a secondary Geula. I mean, either there was a Geula at night, there wasn't a Geula at night. What's this Nami? Nami, there was also a Geula at night. So for this, Rabosai, we need a Medrash. The Medrash tells us that Makas Bechoris took place at midnight. Okay, that's going to be a whole sugi here on Daf Dalet. That even though Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paro Kichatzos Halayel, but it was really Bichatzos, exactly at midnight, the firstborn in the Egypt, of the Egyptians died. And as a result of this plague, Paro summons Moshe and Aaron to his palace urgently, and he says, "You must call off this Magefa, because otherwise all of Mitzrayim is going to die." So at that point, Moshe and Aaron turn to Paro, according to the Medrash, this is not explicit in the Torah Ksav, and they said to him, "Rotza Ata, you want to terminate this maka, l'sayim maka zu, and mar me'ata, make the following statement. Me'ata, from now on, hare atem b'nei chorim, hare atem mishuchrorim, hare atem avdei Hashem." So again, there are three parts to Paro's declaration. But what's important for us is that Paro declares that you are now free. You are no longer my avodim. Right? The main line in the Haggadah Shel Pesach is avodim ha'yinu l'faro b'mitzrayim. When did that state of avdus terminate? At what moment in time did Paro free the Jewish people, everybody? Chatzos Laila. This is during the night time, right after the aftermath of Makas Bechoros. So that is already stage one of the Geula. The people of Israel have not yet left Mitzrayim, but legally, juridically, they are free from slavery. So that's the beginning of the Geula. And therefore, the Brach of Gal Yisrael at night takes on tremendous significance, such that now we have to attach that Bracha to Tefillah, because Tefillah is when we bow to Hashem as Avadim, and we have to make a statement, Gal Yisrael, that you redeemed us from one state of slavery, and now we entered into a different slavery, so to speak. We are no longer Avadim la'Avadim, we're no longer Avadim to Paro, now we're Avdei Hashem. And at what point did the transition between Avdei Paro and Avdei Hashem take place? Me'urta, the night of the 14th. Does everybody have that? Was I clear? Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that since there was also a Geula, call it the first stage of Geula before the Exodus at night, therefore we need to be Somei Geula Tefillah. Immediately after we declare Hashem, we are free of the Avdus to Paro, because at night you freed us, Paro freed us. Now we're going to bow to you with Tefillah, and Tefillah is the ultimate level of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. We accept Hashem, you as our king, and we bow down four times in Tefillah. We'll have a whole sugya later on in Brachos, why we bow down four times in Tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Sover came into Lohavi ala mitzafra, Lohavi Geula ma'aliyus. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in his Svara held that Geula means the final Geula. The beginning of Geula is not enough. You know, Paro could have easily have rescinded on his agreement and once again confined the Jewish people as he did time after time. After all the first nine makas, he would do it again after the tenth maka. So as soon as the... What?
Which he did.
And he would try to enslave the Jewish people. When is the ultimate Geula? That's mitzafra, that's during the day when they went out. Of course, Gershon, you'd always ask, even that wasn't the ultimate gula. It wasn't until Kriyas Yamsuf, a week later, that we had the mitzvah down at the bottom of the sea. Ibois Eva Kra. The second possibility is that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi revolves around a pasuk. Vishdeyem Mikra Echad Darshu. And they both interpreted the same pasuk. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vaschanan, it says, Beshavacha Uvukumecha, that you should recite Kriyat Shema when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Now, these two time periods of Beshavacha Uvukumecha will wrap around sleep, if you follow what I mean. B'shalbacha means when you go to sleep, b'kumecha means when you wake up from your sleep. So the key common denominator between b'shalbacha and kumecha in these time periods is sleep. But in the Gemara's language, they don't use the word sleep, they use the word mita. Mita means a bed. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, makish shchiva lekima. The Torah has equated shchiva to kima, which means that Shechiva should derive some conclusion from Kima. Ma Kima, just like in the morning, Kriyat Shema, first you recite Kriyat Shema V'yachach Tefillah, and the reason for that sequence is to be Mekayim which mitzvah? Everybody, why does Kriyat Shema have to come before Tefillah? Smichus Geula L'Tefillah. So to have Shechiva, Nami, Kriyat Shema V'yachach Tefillah, you first recite Kriyat Shema, and then you daven because of smichus geula tefillah. So this equation, this hekesh between shchiva and kima, in which case we're comparing shchiva to kima, means that shchiva should be a mirror image of what happens to kima. Rabbi Yochanan Yishuv ben Levi Savar, makish shchiva lekima. What are we going to derive from shchiva to kima? Ma kima kriyat shma samuch lemitaso. Just like kriyat shma shel shachris bekumecha means after you wake up, immediately you recite Kriyat Shema. It's Af Shechiva Nami Kriyat Shema Samach L'mitaso. Before you go to sleep, you recite Kriyat Shema. So the last thing to do at the end of the day is Kriyat Shema as an Ovid Hashem. The first thing you do as an Ovid Hashem is to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema always begins the day and ends the day. That's called Samach L'mitaso. Samach L'mitaso in the morning and Samach L'mitaso at night. Therefore, it comes out, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, there's only a possibility of being Mekayim Smichus Geula Tefillah by day. Does everybody see that? Because since you're going to need Kriyat Shema at night, it's going to have to be the last thing in the sequence, because it's got to be Samach L'mitaso Dumya, similar to the Samach L'mitaso of Kima, and therefore we need to start with Tefillah and end with Kriyat Shema at night. Hence, we forfeit the mitzvah of Smichus Geula Tefillah. Now, I just want to make 2 points before we go on. It would seem that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the first approach, has a fundamental rejection of Rabbi Yochanan's Smichus Geula Tefillah B'Arvis, because there was no Geula at night, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I mean, there was Geula at night, but the Geula of Gal Yisrael that we make a bracha on has to be the complete Geula. Like, Dumya Leman Tover Domeh, it would be a little bit reminiscent of Birchas HaGomel. Let's say you get out of the hospital. Are you going to recite Birchas HaGomel? Absolutely not. At what point do you recite Birchas HaGomel? When you restore your health completely, when you're completely healthy, you know, they let you out of the hospital, you know, a day or two later, you know, you're still, especially with the old dog, you know, saying they kick you out right away. But after you come back to yourself and you feel completely better, that's when you recite the bracha. So you thank Hashem when the complete geula has taken place. In the second explanation of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, with the hekesh of shchiva to kima, which Gemara identifies as ibay se makra, here it would seem that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi fundamentally would have agreed with Rabbi Yochanan, and the mitzvah of smichus geula tefillah should apply at night, and there's logical and compelling reason for that. But the pasuk is teaching me that we need kriyat shma samuch l'mitaso. That just like Kiva is Kriyat Shema Samach Lemitaso, and therefore Kriyat Shema comes before Tefillah in the morning. So too Kriyat Shema has to come before Tefillah at night. I'm sorry, that was Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry. So too at night we need Kriyat Shema Samach Lemitaso, and therefore the Shmon Esrei has to come before. Now, what is this concept of Samach Lemitaso, and why should Reish Lakish, you know, push the agenda, push the envelope for that kind of a hekesh? That's not crystal clear. All I can say to you is that what the Torah is telling me about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, that it has to begin your day and it has to end your day. You have to wake up mitoch kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. You have to end the day and go to sleep mitoch kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. And that is so critical as an important component in the very, very mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that it overrides and trumps the geula l'tfila in the case of Arvis. Rabbi Yochanan is a lot simpler. If you accept Rabbi Yochanan's premise, Ibois Amos Svara, that the Geula began at night, as we discussed at great length, or if you go with his Hekesh, Ibois Ema Kra, in the second explanation, that just like in the morning we start with Kriyat Shema and then we follow with Tefillah, so too at night we're going to be mirror image that and start with Kriyat Shema and then end with Tefillah. But now the Gemara goes on a tirade against Rabbi Yochanan. How can you tell me that the Smichas Geula Tefillah at night, when the Mishnah itself tells us that Ba'erev Mevarek Shtayim Lefaneu Shtayim Lachreya, that there are two brachas after Kriyat Shema at night? One is Gal Yisrael, the other is what? Is Hashkivenu. Hashkivenu now wedges between Kriyat Shema and Gal Yisrael on the one hand and Tefillah on the other hand. And the Gemara answers, came into Tekinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, when the Rabbanan established Hashkivenu, ki geula arichta damya. It's like a long extended geula. In other words, Hashkivenu is really a tag on to Gal Yisrael. It's not a separate entity unto itself, independent of Gal Yisrael, but rather it's an extension of Gal Yisrael. And that's called ki geula arichta. Now, why would Hashkivenu, which is a bracha that God should protect us from Dever, Cherev, Varah, from all types of pestilence, all types of magefas and plagues, and then it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer, Sama Yisrael La'ad, God is the ultimate protector. Why is that? How is that related to Geula? How can you call that a... Because again, it's true that the Rabbanon established Hashkivenu, but why did they establish Hashkivenu? And why did they formulate the Matbe of Hashkivenu as a Geula Richta? I mean, what was the logic behind the compelling logic that Hashkivenu is a Geula Richta? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Imagine in your minds, 3 million Jews get out of Mitzrayim. What's that called in the Gemara's language? It took place by day? Geula, correct? That's a redemption. Is that really a redemption? What happens to 3 million Jews when they get out of Mitzrayim? Where do they end up? In the Midbar. How long are they going to be in the Midbar? 40 years in the Midbar. 3 million Jews, men, women, and teeny, teeny little children. Ubrim, Bimei, Iman. And they're in a desert. What do you say?
That's Geula.
That's Geula? I mean, my gosh, to take out a nation and expose them to the natural perils and dangers of a Midbar with Nechashim v'akravim, with Shrav, with... The answer is Shomer es Amo Yisrael la'ad. The Geula really is clinched when God promises Shmira. And that's why Hashkivenu has a definite relationship to which of the three holidays? Not to Pesach so much, but to Sukkot. What is Sukkot? Sukkot is Sukkah Shalom. It's Anani HaKava. It's God saying, I'm not leaving you off Hefker, now you're going to have to suffer in the Midbar. So that's called Geula Arichta. And now the Gemara proves that there is such a concept where the Rabbanan added on something, but even if it's wedged between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, it's not considered a hefsek to undermine the Smichus Geula Tefillah. And that's going to be Hashem Svasai Tiftach. which means that before you start any Shmoneh Esrei, three times a day, you quote this pasuk Hashem Sosai Tiftah. Isn't that going to split, even in the case of Shachris, wedge between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah? And undermine Smichus Gula Tefillah. So the Gemara says, Kevelet Kidu Le Rabbanon, the Rabbanon established Lemeimah Hashem Sosai Tiftah, Kitfilah Richtadami. It's all part of Tefillah. In the case of Ashkivani, we said it was all part of what? Of Gula. In the case of Hashem Sosai Tiftah, it's all part of Tefillah. And my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, used to say that it's critical that the Shliach Tzibur, when he begins his Chazor Sashatz, he should say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, because it's part of Tefillah. It's Tefillah Richta. And it should be said out loud, because anything that is part of Tefillah, in the case of Chazor Sashatz, has to be said out loud. The Shatz is only a representative of the Tzibur. The Tzibur has to hear the Shmon Esrei. So we have now two arichtas here. We have the Gula arichta of Ashkivenu, we have the Tefillah arichta of Hashem Sosai Tiftach, and in both cases, we don't see it as a hefsek to wedge between Gula and Tefillah. The question I have for you is the following. What do we do in Chutz Laretz? How can Rabbi Yochanan's vision or view be accepted in Chutz Laretz, when we have a whole bunch of psukim in a long, long tefillah that we wedge in between Hashkivenu and Shmon Esrei? And for that matter, we can ask the question in Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't have the minhag of reciting all these psukim, but nevertheless we have Chatzi Kaddish. And Chatzi Kaddish should also be a hefsek that should break up between Gal Yisrael and Ashkivenu as Gula Richta, and Tefillah with Hashem Sosai Tiftach as the Tefillah Richta, but now we have a Chatzi Kaddish in the middle. Now, as far as Chutz Laretz is concerned, if you take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil D'Omar, Tosfos says that even these psukim that we read are not a hefsek, and hoel v'tkinu le'rabbanon havile kigeula richta d'tkinu lomar zeh v'tokach yispalel chavero gam hu v'lo yelech mibeis ha'kneses ad sheyigmar kolechet filoso. And now Tosfos shifts and he says gam yesh posim psukim yudches askaras kineged yudches brachos tishmon esrei. So Tosfos vacillates back and forth whether we should subsume this long quote of psukim, of 18 psukim, which is called Yuraynenu, as Geula Richta, or shall we see it as Tefillah Richta? In both of Tosfos' approaches, it is somehow related to Tefillah, either because we have to get the latecomers to join us in Tefillah, so we'll delay the beginning of Tefillah so that the latecomers can come in, and we'll have more of a tzibur, Barov HaMajus Melech, Davening Shmon Esrei. In the Tosfos' second explanation, it's part of Tefillah because it's sort of a summary of the Yudches Brachos of Shmon Esrei. It's Yudches Askaros, Keneged Yudches Brachos, Keneged Yudches Askaros. Then Tosfos says that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yochanan, and came pasuk bal halachas gedolos. V'im kein yesh li zar shalom l'saper bein geula di arvis li shmon esrei. One should be very careful not to speak and interrupt between geula and shmon esrei. And now we have the problem of chatzi kaddish. Now Tosfos introduces here another element into the equation, and that's called Tefillas Arvis Rishus. There's a basic machlokas, we paskin like the Man D'Omer, Tefillas Arvis Rishus. And therefore, says Tosfos, even though l'chatchila we have to be very careful about Rabbi Yochanan, and make sure that we don't speak out and we're not mafsik so that we can obtain the key of smichus gula tefillah in arvis, nevertheless, it's not as severe, so to speak, or as demanding as shachris. We're going to be a little bit more laid back about it, and that's because we paskin Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Tosis is not happy with this because Rabbi Yochanan himself is of the opinion that Tfilas Arvis Chova. And if we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, then we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan consistently, both with regard to Smichus Gula Tfil and Arvis, and also with regard to Tfilas Arvis Chova. Fine. Now let's try to understand why Tfilas Arvis Rishus should make a difference as far as Smichus Gula Tfila. And secondly, let's try to understand why we are more lenient with regard to Mairiv and we allow for Chatzi Kaddish between Gula, which means Hashkivenu in this case, and Tfila. And that's true even here in Eretz Yisrael. So just to get the ball rolling, let's begin with the following principle. And it's a major principle that connects many, many different Gemaras in Masechta Brachos, and if we in Mitzvah Hashem get together on a regular basis, I would like to show you how this principle is so fundamental and it underlies so many, so many different Gemaras here in Masechta Brachos about the mitzvah of davening of tefillah. The principle is you can't daven. Do you hear me, Rabosa? You're not allowed to daven. Period. I want everyone walk out of this room and realize you're not allowed to daven. It's a chutzpah neira to daven. Who are you to pray in front of the Almighty? Tefillah means I'm omed lifnei hashkina. You're not even a speck of dust in the entire cosmos, and you're going to stand in front of the King of Kings? Could you imagine that I would knock on the door of the Queen Elizabeth, of the Queen of England, or the King of Morocco? Ich bin du, I'm here. I have something to tell you. Who are you? The Senate, you know, the protectors of the king will throw you out on your head immediately. In halachic terms, what this means is that tefillah needs a matir. What does the word matir mean? We need some license, some action, some permission to daven. And we'll see later on in Masechta Brachos and also to Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah that the whole concept of tefillas nedava, of a person just offering a tefillah and saying, I'm here, Ribbono Shel Olam, the King of Kings in front of your throne, I'm here to pray, is very problematic. In fact, even to add to Shmoneh Esrei is very problematic. Why? Because tefillah needs a matir. The matir was that the Chachamim, and maybe the Torah itself, established a chova that said the Torah demands of you to daven, and the Rabbanim demand of you to daven in a particular way. And in order to fulfill that obligation, you have a license to do so. Every chiyuv creates a matir. Every time the Torah imposes upon you an obligation, that permits you to go ahead and do what you have to do. In the case of tefillah, I will daven because the Torah obligates me to daven. Here's where tefillah's arvis rishus becomes a problematic concept. Because what do you mean it's a rishus? Are you telling me it's not a chova? And if it's not a chova, so what's the matir to daven tefillah's arvis? And all this has deeper philosophical meanings in the world of mysticism and Jewish thought. What does it mean? Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Nighttime represents Golus, and God has sent us into the exile. These are deeper concepts which we're not even touching on the tip of the iceberg. And if Tfilas Shachris, which is a tefillas chova, has smichus gula tefillah, then I would say kolshkein, how much more so tefillas arvis as a rishus needs smichus gula tefillah. I begin to appreciate Rabbi Yochanan because tefillah needs a matir. I can't just jump into tefillah. Mincha is problematic. In tefillas mincha we have a matir called what? What do we require? Ashrei, right? Tehillah l'David. In shachris, we have a very elaborate matir that begins with Psukei Dezimra and moves on to Geula, and after terminating that entire process of matir with Geula, thanking Hashem for the redemption, then we're ready and we have license to stand in tefillah. So So Kriyat Shema, together with its brachos, which culminate with Gal Yisrael, that is the matir. That is the obligation they have to fulfill, and then I'm ready for tefillah. If that be the case, Smichus Gula Tefillah is a matir. It's the way, the method which the halacha operates, allowing you, giving you license to tefillah to daven. And if that applies in Shacharis, then Rabbi Yochanan has convinced me that with a Kol Shkein it should apply to Arvis. Because in Arvis I have a greater need, a more intense need for a matir, because Arvis is only what? A tefillah's reshus. I don't even have a built-in chova in my tefillah. So I want to optionally daven, voluntarily. I need a matir. Who's going to invite you to the king? Who gives you audience to enter into the king's presence? And the answer is geula. And perhaps Rabbi Yishuv and Levi would agree fundamentally that we need a matir, but he's going to come up with a different matir. Or alternatively, from this Hekesh Yibay Yisei Makra, he derives the principle of Kriyat Shema that has to be Somach Lamita, Bekimaso, Ubeshvichvasa, and that's going to trump the idea of Smichus Gula Tefillah. But Smichus Gula Tefillah means there's a sequence. You cannot just begin to daven. You're not allowed to daven. You have to have permission to daven. And your permission to daven is what? Is Geula. That's called Smichus Gula Tefillah. However, there's another concept involved in Smichus Gula Tefillah that has nothing to do with a matir. And that's what I call a mitzarif. A mitzarif means to integrate two different elements and combine them into one. We'll call it synthesis. We need both Gula and Tefillah, and they have to be attached. They have to be connected one to the other, co-joined. And they form one cube. The Gemara says that if you would recite Kriyat Shema without Tefillah or Tefillah without Kriyat Shema, that's not considered Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim requires two elements. One is Kriyat Shema and one is Tefillah. In Kriyat Shema, we make a statement, we declare an absolute commitment to be the servants of Hashem. God is one. He has mitzvos. We're going to mention tzitzis because tzitzis is keneged tariq mitzvahs. We are committed to you, Hashem. We declare ourselves as avodim. But the ultimate of avdus is tefillah. In tefillah, we completely submit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch. We say, God, we don't have anything for ourselves. We are totally dependent upon you for everything in our lives. That is the statement of tefillah. We bow in tefillah to make a declaration that we belong to you. And everything that's ours is really yours. Mashakana Eved Kadarabo. The avdus of tefillah means that we are your servants, totally dependent upon you. You are our Adon. Adon means you are our master and you own us. Anything we get it from you. So it's not just enough to recite Kriyat Shema and make a statement, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I'm obligated to culminate, to connect that with tefillah, because that's the action of avdus in which we materialize. We put our money where our mouth is, our mouth where our money is, and we are avadim to Hashem befall. In actuality, we are mekayim kriyat shema with tefillah. That's the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim that ultimately culminates with tefillah. In that sense, the halacha will not tolerate any wedge, any hefsek between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. Because if I'm trying to integrate the two into one, I need one entity. Says Rav Yochanan, herein lies the difference between Smichus Gula Tefillah in the morning, in Shacharis, and Smichus Gula Tefillah at night. In Smichus Gula Tefillah at night, I need a matir. And how much more so in the case of Arvis, which is Rishus. But in the case of Smichus Gula Tefillah at night, where Arvis is Rishus, I have no chiyuv to, what word can I use, to act out, to, what word, help me out here with the English, to materialize, actualize, to physically, you know, live out on a, or act out my avdus tashem. Avdus tashem is fulfilled with shacharis and mincha and tefillas arvis reshus. The Torah didn't require of us tefillah. When is a chiyuv tefillah in Shacharis? Then I need Kriyat Shema and I need tefillah, and I have to integrate them into one entity of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, so the two chiyuvim merge into one. You can merge two chiyuvim. You cannot merge a chiyuv and a rishus into one entity. They are fundamentally different. And we'll try to prove that if we have time, but I see we're limited in time, but I'll try to see if I can finish in the next 5-6 minutes. So again, here's the difference in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference between the two categories of smichus gula tefillah, one in Shacharis and one in Ma'ariv. In Shacharis, we have zero tolerance for any sort of a wedge that would form a hefsek between gula and tefillah, because we have two chiyuvim, one of gula and one of tefillah. These are two facets or dimensions of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and they have to be merged into one. The merger requires that immediately upon conclusion of Geula, I start my Amida, I start my Tefillah. They become one entity. Obviously, Tefillah and Shacharis needs a Matir. Every Tefillah needs a Matir, so that Geula will serve as a Matir. But there's a double function here. Smichas Geula Tefillah, in the case of Shacharis, has two dimensions to it, and it achieves two different goals. Both of them piggyback one on top of the other. One goal is to have a matir and a nitar, to be matir tefillah by first reciting geula and declaring God's thanks to God for redemption. But there's a second element, which is even more far-reaching in smichus gula tefillah, which only applies to chakras, and that's unification or integration. To take geula and integrate Geula with Tefillah into one indivisible entity. In Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, where I only have one Chiyuv, and that's the Chiyuv of Kriyat Shema, together with Gaal Yisrael as Birchas Kriyat Shema, I have no Chiyuv of Tefillah. Tosfos says, if I have no Chiyuv of Tefillah, because Tefillah Arvis Rishus, we can be more flexible. What does that mean, we can be more flexible? We don't need the absolute integration of Tefillah together with Geula. We can have some sort of tolerance and reserve rights for some sort of a wedge in between Gula and Tefillah. What I do need is a Matir. And Rabosai, when the Tzibur gets together to daven, every single davening will require a Matir. And what is that Matir? Does anybody know? What does the Tzibur do as a Tzibur in order to allow it to embark upon Tefillah? Because just like I as an individual need license to pray, I as part of a community, as part of a Tzibur, need license to pray. What is going to be the license before every single Tefillah B'Tzibur? Anybody know? Kaddish, excellent. Kaddish. Kaddish itself is going to be a Matir. Now, Kaddish comes immediately before Tefillah as a Matir, but there's one exception, and that's Shacharis. Why is Kaddish going to come before Baruch Hu? And the answer is because of Smichus Gula Tefillah. What halacha of Smichus Gula Tefillah? Not the halacha of a Matir. As far as the halacha of a Matir is concerned, we would have to recite Kaddish immediately before Tefillah to be Matir Tefillah. That we can't do because we have another halacha of smichus gula tefillah, another kiyum which trumps the kiyum of matir and nitar, and that's the kiyum of integration, of tziruf, of joining gula and tefillah to make it into one entity. And at that point, we can only do that if we are makdim the kaddish and we recite the kaddish much earlier before we start birchas kriyat shema, because birchas kriyat shema and kriyat shema form one entity, and they have to form one indivisible entity with tefillah as far as shacharis is concerned, because they're both chiyuvim of kriyat shema, chiyuvim of tefillah, and they'll be integrated into one through smichus gula tefillah. Zero tolerance for any hefsek. Even the hefsek of a matir, which is the kaddish, has to be, in a sense, alleviated, or not totally alleviated, but at least moved aside to a different position, at a different point in my davening. But now let's fast forward to Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Here, we have a Chiyuv Kriyat Shema, Ubishalbacha, but we have no Chiyuv Tefillah because we're holding out Tefillah's Arvis Rishos. If there's no Chiyuv, then there's no way I can integrate Kriyat Shema with Tefillah, but what I do have is a need for a Matir. And Geula is going to be a matir. But what other matir do I need? I need a chatzi kaddish when the tzibur gathers together, and now tefillas arvus takes on a new dimension. It's not just me davening as an individual, but as part of a tzibur, I need a chatzi kaddish. How do I know, Rabbos, and with this we'll conclude, that you cannot be mitzarif? There's no such thing as a tzibur between a chova and a reshus. Here's the case. Rav Osai, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but as you get older, it will begin to happen, that I can promise to you. You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden you remind yourself you already davened. So the Gemara says that you have to stop. You're in Arvus, you're in the middle of Tefillas Arvus, you have to stop right in the middle. And why is that? The Gemara says, because if you want to daven the balance of your tefillah, you're halfway through, as a tefillas nedava, then tefillas nedava cannot be connected to tefillas chova. Meaning you started your davening thinking you hadn't davened yet. You davened b'toras chova. You were kovea your tefillah as a tefillas chova. You cannot midway transform it into a tefillas nedava, because nedava and chova don't mix. It's like water and fire. They'll never mix together. If we assume that tefillas arvus is reshus, then in the case of smichus gula tefillah, we don't have any obligation to integrate kriyat shma with tefillah, because there is no chiyuv tefillah, because tefillas arvus reshus, and reshus can never be integrated with a chova. At best, we can have a smichus gula tefillah of a matir, and gula is a matir even at night, says Rabbi Yochanan, for one of two reasons, the first of which is because the gula began at night, and now we're going to take that gula and we're going to recite it as a matir, which is going to allow me to recite tefillah, and we shouldn't be mafsik in between. Kriyat Shema, though, after Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus, allows you to be, quote-unquote, mafsik with a chatzi kaddish. But that's for an entirely different reason. And that's because smichus gula l'tefillah at night is a requirement b'toras matir. And once we need the matir of geula, then we add another matir, and that's going to be chatzi kaddish. So just to summarize, Rav Yochanan here on Daf Dalet Amud Beis differentiates between gula tefillah in the morning and gula tefillah at night, even though in both cases he requires gula tefillah with a smichus. Tos says he can't be speaking about anything between gula and tefillah even at night. We pasuk like Rav Yochanan, but yet we find differences in halacha. We're a little bit more lenient and laid back with Ma'ariv, and we explain that that's because in Ma'ariv gula tefillah is only halacha of what? Of matir and nitar to allow you to daven, whereas in chakras we have an integration of gula and tefillah to make it into one entity of kabbalas ol malchus. Okay, anyone who's interested in an Ian Shear in Sanhedrin, we'll start that in about 15 minutes.
Yes, sir. Is there any kin when davening on nets?
I don't think so. I think Netzachama is a whole different element in the equation. That has to do with your Uchem Shemesh, that a Yiri Shemayim will look for the earliest time possible to daven. Now, since he needs to be somewhat gula tefillah, so therefore he's going to synchronize that early moment of davening together with the end of Kriyat Shema. But not because of Smichus gula tefillah. Smichus gula tefillah is the reason why he doesn't have an opportunity of reciting Kriya Shema earlier. He's got to recite it right before Hanetz. But Hanetz is halach in tefillah.
And to fulfill Smichus Gula Tefillah, does one need the Machshava to do so, or does it do it?
Kavana, you mean when the Kavana is Likuba? I would say the following, that Kavana Lepirish HaMilas, to understand the words, that certainly is necessary. But you know, to have a kavana, hivi mukhara mizuma lakaya mitzvah smichus gula tefillah, that I don't know.
Okay.